This is so wizard, Annie.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that cut off her nose to Spider-Verse. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Fanny Nine Fingers Darling.
I have more trivia knowledge in my remaining fingers than you have in your whole body.
Kate Flat White Stuart Hodges.
That's good coffee and hot, like the ashes of your defeat.
And Kiva Shy Ronnie Williams.
I'm here to take names, kick butt, and I'm all out of lollipops, or something like that.
Hello to everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for today's match. We have three returning players here for the first elimination match in Season 9's Gizmonic Institute division. Keeping the scores as ever, it's Scoremaster Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. I just want to give our listeners a little peek behind the curtain. People don't understand exactly how much work Taylor has to put into every episode. He writes a lot of the games, of course, but he puts so much work in. For instance, today, I myself spent about 20 minutes trying to figure out how to pronounce Benirski.
Spoiler alert for something later, I guess. Thanks, Dan. And also, working the boards, it's Production Master Dave.
Now, for $20, I can tell you a lot of things. For $30, I can tell you more. And for $50, I can tell you everything.
Let's see what Madame Ruby sees.
Oh boy, I think that's our signal to get into the first game of the day. It's a round of My Champion. In this game, each one of our three players has picked a champion from somewhere in the world of pop culture. But we're choosing the challenge those champions are going to undergo. Our longtime club members have heard her on a bonus episode, but she is here ready to compete in the regular season. It's interpreter to the face blind, Fanny Darling. Fanny, who have you got as your champion?
Shauna Sadecki, Nee Shipman, as played by Melanie Linsky on Yellow Jackets.
Fantastic. Returning from our first season, it's compulsive candle buyer and stick enthusiast Kate Stewart Hodges. Kate, who have you got for your champion?
My champion today is Moon Tobin from the Great North.
And our third veteran player returns from season 5, as well as many of our live Zoom game shelf decathlons. Let's welcome Hillman alum and Gray Sloan dermatology resident Kiva Williams. Kiva, who's your champion?
My champion is Ferb Fletcher from Phineas and Ferb.
All right, three champions locked in, so let's go ahead and spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, who is going to win a real-life game of Mario Kart? First up, Fanny, why is Shauna from Yellow Jackets going to win a real-life game of Mario Kart?
Well, in the modern day, she has a teenage daughter that she's trying desperately to have a relationship with like she did back when she was cute. So maybe playing some Mario Kart and allowing time to, like, verbally abuse each other makes you closer as parent and child. And that doesn't work, then she can just use her knife skills to cut off the other player's hands and eat them. She's an adrenaline junkie. She would like that, I think.
Thank you, Fanny. All right, moving into the animated portion of our arguments. Kate, why is the Great North's Moon Tobin going to win a real-life game of Mario Kart?
Well, guys, I mean, Moon's got this sewed up. He's generally a no-holds-barred competitor, and he has a history of cheating during family game nights. He's got the skills, he's got the eye, and he can disable a Switch controller like nobody's business. So I think Moon has got this sewed up.
Devious argument from Kate, thank you. And Kiva, why is Ferb from Phineas and Ferb going to win this game of Mario Kart?
A young man, a few words, but extremely talented, knowledgeable. He and his brother, they've built so many things over their summer days, including a race car. And I think they won. They modified their sister's car when she was getting her driver's license. He's going to win just because he's brilliant and he'll know how to beat everybody. Ferb, for the win.
Thank you, Kiva. All right, all of the arguments are in, so now it's time for Scoremaster Dan to be our judge and determine our winner. Dan, who's it going to be?
So we've got a problem. We've got two players who apparently are playing this on the Switch and also cheating, right? So we've got Moon Tobin, who's going to cheat. Okay, fine. I get that. But then we've got Sean Zdecky, who's apparently going to cut someone's hands off. So it seems like that's almost a draw right there. Like, you're going to cheat. They're both going to cheat against each other. But more importantly, they are playing Mario Kart on the Switch, where we were talking about a real-life game of Mario Kart. So this is all about who actually is going to be able to drive the best and throw turtle shells and bananas and whatnot at everybody else. And there's only one player made a case for that, and that is Kiva and Ferb Fletcher.
Woo! Nice job! Fair, fair. Woo!
Yeah, Ferb, for the win.
Fantastic. Congratulations, Kiva. You have won, my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you will get half a point before we even start round one. Here is your half-point question. This 1989 movie has a boy on a road trip to compete in a video game tournament featuring the U.S. premiere of the game, Super Mario Bros. 3.
Oh, no. This is wrong. War games.
This is so Wizard Annie.
This Fred Savage movie is called The Wizard, a.k.a. a 90-minute ad for Super Mario Bros. 3.
Wait a second, Taylor. It's also a 90-minute ad for the Power Glove. Don't forget about that part.
Oh, of course.
Oh.
Now, you may have missed the half point, Kiva, but you do get to go first in round one, Fine Delivery. Sure, cinema has given us memorable lines that are part of our cultural lexicon, that define emotions that are part of our lives, but that doesn't mean we can't dad joke them up. In this game, we've taken some of the most notable movie quotes of the last 100 years and replaced just one word with a rhyme. We'll tell you about that new quote, and then you get to deliver it, ideally in character. So, if we told you that this quote from a 1977 movie was Harrison Ford reluctantly telling his friend before the Battle of Yavin that he hopes to be able to keep that Clydesdale around, you'd know the new quote was...
May the horse be with you.
May the horse be with you. That answer would get you 10 points and make you roll your eyes. But we're only scoring the first part. If you need some more help, we can tell you the name of the movie the original quote is from, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Let's kick it off with Kiva. From a 1939 movie, Judy Garland really wants to get back to the Spanish Steps and the Trevi Fountain.
I know the movie, but there's no place like Rome.
There it is, the full 10 to Kiva.
Okay.
Next up to Kate. This quote is from a 2005 movie. Jake Gyllenhaal is interlacing yarn into a doll that looks like his lover and is having real trouble with the pattern.
I have no earthly idea. My brain has just emptied of all Jake Gyllenhaal movies. Somehow I feel like this is voodoo. Let me have the hint.
This quote comes from the movie Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, it's I Can't Quit You. I Can't Quilt You?
I wish I knew how to knit you. Interlacing yarn is knitting.
Yeah, that's only one of my biggest hobbies, so my friends are going to love that.
All right, next up to Fanny. This is from a 1996 movie. Tom Cruise really wants to see the end of a classic magic trick involving a hat.
I'm going to need the hint because I tend to avoid his films for reasons.
Your hint is the movie Jerry Maguire.
Oh, okay. Show me the... Bunny?
Oh. Nice job.
I was in such suspense there. Yeah, show me the bunny. We are back to Kiva. This is from a 2004 movie. Everyone keeps telling Simon Pegg that there's some focaccia on his shirt.
Oh, dear. I don't know if knowing the movie will help, but could I get the hint, please?
The movie is Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I was worried about that. I don't know. Pass.
Original quote is, "You've got red on you." So since it's focaccia, you've got bread on you.
Okay.
Over to Kate, we're in the year 1989. An otherworldly voice lets Kevin Costner know that his dead dad will show up for anything that has been cooked on the barbecue.
Okay, so the movie is Field of Dreams, and they whisper, if you build it, he will come. And he's showing up for cooked on the barbecue. If you grill it, he will come.
If you grilled it, he will come. Yes, there it is. Next up, we are back to Fanny from the year 1992. Tom Hanks lets his players know that they can't change the color of their uniforms.
All right, so there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. There's no dying in baseball.
Yep, she got there. Full 10.
Nice job.
We are back to Kiva. This is from the year 1954. Marlon Brando wishes he'd stayed in that band with Chrissy Hynde.
Oh, no. Okay, Chrissy Hynde, The Pretenders. Oh, no. Hint, please.
Original quote is from the film On the Waterfront.
Oh, no. Okay. Pass.
Fanny knows this one.
I could have been a pretender.
Yep.
Nice.
I could have been someone.
A-plus delivery. Thank you. We are back to Kate from the year 1943. Humphrey Bogart is letting that sweet little cephalopod know that he still loves it.
That sweet little cephalopod. Okay, 1943. I'm going to guess that's probably Casablanca. Here's looking at you, kid. Here's... Let me have the hint.
Your hint is Casablanca.
Super helpful. Play it again, Sam. Here's looking at you, kid. Here's looking at you, snail. Here's... Oh, I stumble a pod. Squid. Here's looking at you, squid.
Hey! Oh,
what a roller coaster that was.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's 5 points.
I've never wanted a correct answer more in my life.
All right. We are next over to Fanny from a 1987 movie. Michael Douglas is making a case for the relatively rough material in his wool sports coat.
Tweed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Excellent answer from Fanny. We'll take us into our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Oh, this game makes me way, way too happy. At this point, Fanny's in the lead with 25 points. Kate's close behind with 15. Kiva's on the board with 10.
All right, Kiva, chance to earn some more points. This next quote is for you. We're in the year 1975. Roy Scheider thinks that Quint's bovid farm animal is just too small.
Goodness. Hint, please.
The movie is Jaws.
Okay, we're going to need a bigger boat. We're going to need a bigger... cow? No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. We're going to need a bigger boat. We're going to... pass. Gracious.
Kate?
We're going to need a bigger goat.
You're going to need a bigger goat.
See, but listeners to our show, of course, now know bovid means like a goat. Cephalopod is a squid. Anatine is a duck, right? We have to get the metaphors in somewhere.
Dan is teaching us all.
All right. We are back to Kate for a 1988 movie. Kathleen Turner wants you to know that she isn't normally colored with a Scottish pattern. It's just some artist's decision.
Okay, well, that's tartan. Kathleen Turner, 1988, romancing the st- tone as probably the movie. I'm trying to think of anything that she said in that movie that was pertinent. Let me have the hint just in case. That will help me.
Your hint is Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Ah. I'm not tartan. I was just drawn that way.
Doesn't rhyme. Oh.
Doesn't quite rhyme.
I'm not plaid. I was just drawn
there
that
it
way.
Is. Oh! Correct, plaid, but it's your second answer, so no points, unfortunately, for Kate. Next up to Fanny, this is a quote from a 2019 movie. Adam Sandler is in way over his head, stressed out, and a little miffed that you think his smile is weird.
All right, I think I know what movie it's from, so, and I can't think of the line from it, so go ahead and give me the hint.
Your hint is Uncut Gems.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. Yeah, I'm going to have to pass. I don't know the line.
Original line, this is how I win. His smile is weird, so this is how I grin. One more alternate word rhyming movie quote per player. This one is for Kiva. We are in the year 2006. Nicolas Cage is terrified that the pagan villagers are going to give him more of their local Wensleydale.
Oh, let's see. Is this the Wicker Man? No, that's too late. Hint, please.
Your hint is the Wicker Man.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, pass. No clue.
Kate?
Cheese!
Not the cheese. Not the cheese.
The bees. Yes.
The bees. Yes. Next over to Kate from the year 1992. Jack Nicholson knows that Tom Cruise is not going to be able to keep up with the kids and their trends on the TikTok and such.
Okay, this is A Few Good Men, and I mean, I'm going to guess, since it's not TikTok specific, that this is You Can't Handle the Youth.
Very good, full 10. And last one is for Fanny. From the year 1996. A mysterious caller wants to know if Drew Barrymore likes documentaries about milk production.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know the line. I'm just trying to make the... See, I think it's Scream, and it's... Do you like scary movies? And documentaries about milk production. Wow. I'm going to feel really, really stupid when I... Oh, you like dairy movies. Do you like dairy movies?
Yes. Nicely done.
The turn there. Incredible. Yes. 10 points. Well, that'll do it for round one. Next up, the scores from Dan and on to round two. Hi, listeners. Taylor here to remind you about the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Club. Head to usaquizshow.com/club for all sorts of membership benefits. Supporters at every level will get ad-free episodes as well as early drop episodes, meaning if it's done before the scheduled release date, we'll put it up there early for our club members. You also get access to the Discord channel to connect with other listeners to the show, talk about the show and all things pop culture for all the Through Methods podcasts. So that includes our show, Extra Hot Great, Listen to Sassy, and Again With This. We've also got some upcoming live events. For instance, next week on Wednesday, June 15th, we're having an all full contact Name That Tune night live on Zoom. Want to come show some musical knowledge? Then sign up for our club and grab that Zoom link. Plus, there's still a plethora of past bonus episodes just waiting for you that'll pop up in your feed once you subscribe. Once again, check us out at usaquizshow.com/club.
Going to round two, it's time for the Fridge Alert score break. The Fridge Alert. It'll let you know if William Conrad is stealing your food. I mean, who's going to need this thing? Quinn Martin? He's dead. All right, Fanny is currently lead with 35 points. Kate's got 25. Kiva's on the board with 10, but that means she gets to go first in round two.
It also means Kiva gets to make up some ground with... The Threequalizer. Kiva, I'm going to read you a question that has three possible answers. You'll have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. In various incarnations, the game show Wheel of Fortune has been on the air continuously since 1975. In that time, the main show has had four permanent hosts. One of them is NFL kicker Rolf Benirschke, who only lasted 5 months. Who are the other three? They are a game show MC connected to many other shows, a longtime Entertainment Tonight reporter, and the longest-serving game show host in U.S. history. Who are those three Wheel of Fortune hosts?
Okay, so I'll guess Pat Sajak. Entertainment, John Tesh. Let's see, somebody connected to other game shows. Merv Griffin.
10 points for knowing Pat Sajak. That other game show MC connected to other shows is Love Connection host Chuck Woolery, who was the Wheel of Fortune host for a bit, and Bob Goen is that Entertainment Tonight reporter, though now I desperately want to see an episode of Wheel of Fortune live at Red Rocks based on your answer. That sounds great.
Wow.
Well, we're going from a TV Wheel of Fortune to a bit more of a mystical Wheel of Fortune with round two entitled, The Answers Are in the Cards. Tarot decks go back hundreds of years, and there's a variety of styles to choose from. So why not use a tarot deck themed around a pop culture property to tell your future? In this game, we'll describe some cards from an officially licensed pop culture themed tarot deck. You name the property it's based on. So if we told you that in the tarot deck, based on a 1997 TV show, the magician was represented by a teenage Allison Hannigan with a Wiccan magic poster on her wall, you'd know that was a deck based on...
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that answer would get you 20 points. If you need more help, we can describe a different card from the set, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. But you only get one guess, so use it wisely. Afterwards, you'll get a related follow-up question with 10 more possible points. Let's start with Kiva. This is a deck based on a 1993 movie. The Devil card is a green, fabric-y, bug-filled demon with a gaping black smile.
A what now? Okay. Green. Hint, please.
The Emperor card in this deck is a freaked-out-looking Sandy Claws.
Gremlins 2. I don't know.
Kate knows this one.
That's the Nightmare Before Christmas with the Boogie Oogie Man.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Santa himself. Still for Kiva, this composer was the singing voice of Jack Skellington in The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Quincy Jones.
Talking long time Tim Burton collaborator, though Tim Burton did not direct The Nightmare Before Christmas, this is Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman. Though they wouldn't let him be the speaking voice he wanted to be, and then they cast Chris Sarandon because he sounded like Danny Elfman. It's very strange.
So rude.
Next up to Kate, this is a deck based on a 1985 TV show. The Devil card is a middle-aged Southern woman with short brown hair wearing a red dress and winking at the viewer.
My instinct is to say the Golden Girls, but I think that show was later. Can I have a hint?
The Tower card is a white building with a neon sign saying Shady Pines on the roof.
The Golden Girls?
Correct for 10. Kate, Betty White played Rose Nyland on four different TV shows. They were The Golden Girls, Golden Palace, and two others. Name one of those other two.
Oh, gosh. Name one of the other two. I never watched this show, but did she play her on Hot in Cleveland?
A distinct character on Hot in Cleveland. Those other two shows are Empty Nest and Nurses are the other two shows with Betty White as Rose. Next to Fanny. This is a deck based on a film series that started in 1972. The Magician card is a hand holding a marionette controller with the strings attached to various things, including knives and a representation of a casino.
Is this Rosemary's Baby?
Rosemary's Baby 1968. This is The Godfather. The Godfather. Still, you get the follow-up, Fanny. This singer and Emmy-winning talk show host had an unexpected hit in 1972 with Speak Softly, Love, a song which added lyrics to the love theme from The Godfather. Who is that singer?
You all know how good I am with music. Pass.
Andy Williams doing a strange lyrical cover of The Godfather theme. We are back to Kiva. This is a deck based on the IP of a company founded in 1939. The Devil card is a man with lanky black hair wearing only a green cloak who is seemingly turning blue-gray.
Oh my goodness. Hint, please.
The Magician card is a goateed man with a blue circle on his chest, surrounded by scientific implements.
I want... for some reason I'm thinking comics, but that is not right. I don't know. Watchmen.
You're in the right vein. This is the Marvel Comics tarot deck, with Loki and Iron Man popping up as the Devil and the Magician. Kiva, the animated Miss Minutes, who explains complex concepts about the multiverse on Loki, was inspired by an animated character in this 1993 sci-fi hit.
93. No. Doctor Who. No.
This is a nod to Jurassic Park, where you have all these complicated scientific concepts, so they just throw in a nice little animated character to let you know how everything works right at the beginning.
Right, okay.
Next up to Kate. This deck is based on a 1951 animated feature. The pair is two rather sinister-looking red-clad men with small hats and tufts of red hair.
Wow, all right. Sinister-looking red-clad men with small hats. I have no idea. Let me have the hint.
The Six of Spears is six red lances with ends topped by heart symbols from a playing card.
Alice in Wonderland?
With Tweedledee and Tweedledum as the pair.
Ah, yes.
Kate, the song "Twas Brillig" from the 1951 Disney Alice in Wonderland is based on this poem.
Aw, Jabberwocky.
Yes, Lewis Carroll in there. Very good. We are back to Fanny. This is a deck based on a 1993 movie. The transformation card is the hands of three women seemingly turning a man into a black cat.
Okay, I have a guess, but I'm going to go with the hint just in case.
The Magician card is a woman wearing green and purple with curly red hair in an updo, levitating a one-eyed spell book.
Hocus Pocus?
Yes, with Thackeray Binks as that black cat. Fanny, in Hocus Pocus 2, Bette Midler sings One Way or Another, originally a 1978 hit for this band.
Blondie.
Hey, she knows music. She's got a music question on there.
That is my one perfect album, is Parallel Lines. So.
Next tarot deck is for Kiva. This is a deck based on a 1982 animated feature. The Sun card features three unicorns emerging from a wave with a pastel sun behind them.
Animated movie feature. My Little Pony.
In this case, we're talking about the Rankin and Bass animated film The Last Unicorn, where the unicorns come out of the ocean at the end. Still, for Kiva, the soundtrack for The Last Unicorn was performed by the London Symphony Orchestra and this US-UK band, best known for A Horse with No Name.
Oh no, I know the song. I don't know the band.
Do you want me to sing it for you?
No, that really doesn't help the thinking. Pass.
Kate?
I'm pretty sure that's America.
Yes, with several very somber songs for The Last Unicorn.
I am here on a horse with no is, got no name, and doesn't know where to go.
What have we done? Oh, no.
See, I like the idea that, you know, the unicorn, The Last Unicorn, doesn't have a name, right? So it's just a horse with no name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one horn.
Yeah.
Deep.
Next tarot deck is for Kate. It is a deck based on a 1986 movie. The Chariot card is what looks like a whiskered, almost man-sized rodent riding a white sheepdog like it's a horse.
Gosh, okay. White sheepdog. 1986. A mouse? Oh, I have a guess, but let me have the hint.
The World card is a three-quarters view of a huge maze, seemingly filled with peril.
Okay, I have really no idea. Whiskered? Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim. No idea.
This is the tarot deck based on Jim Henson's Labyrinth.
Okay.
Kate, all the songs in Labyrinth were written and performed by him.
David Bowie.
Jareth the Goblin King himself. 10 more points to Kate. Next deck is to Fanny. This is a deck based on the IP of a company founded in 1934. The Fool card is a woman in white face paint, wearing red and black, carrying a mallet.
Okay. I have a guess, and I just don't know how to present it, so I'm going to just go with the DC Universe. Harley Quinn.
Yes, that's Harley Quinn from DC Comics. Anything DC related. Full 20 points to Fanny. In the Harley Quinn TV series, Poison Ivy's carnivorous plant, Frank, is named after this director of Little Shop of Horrors.
Frank Oz?
Keeping it right there, Henson and Oz in this round.
I got stuck on Darabont, and I knew that was wrong.
Yeah.
Well, that will take us to our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Yeah, Frank Darabont's Little Shop of Horrors is a little darker, I think, than most people go with that franchise.
Yeah.
I do want to stress, these are all real live tarot decks you could actually buy if you are a psychotic person. Right now, Fanny's in lead with 85, Kate's got 65, Kiva is trailing, she's got 20 points.
Dan has just pissed off a bunch of our listeners who might own some of these already.
I think if someone went out and bought the Last Unicorn tarot deck, I think they know these things about themselves already. I don't think I'm giving them news.
If not, their first reading told them.
Oh, boy.
We do have one listener I know for sure who cites their favorite movie as The Last Unicorn, so I hope he's smiling right now.
You can like The Last Unicorn without buying the tarot deck.
We'll provide Dan's email at the end of the episode.
The only good pop culture tarot deck is The Sandman. Come on.
I can see your future, and it's a full inbox.
Another deck is for Kiva. This one is based on a 2016 TV show. The Emperor card is a law enforcement officer sitting on the steps of a house in the woods drinking coffee.
2016. To be on the safe side, hint, please.
The High Priestess card is a teenage girl with a buzz cut and frumpy clothes raising her hand and seeming to concentrate on something.
Okay, no, not what I thought at all. Stranger Things?
Hopper and 11, those two cards from Stranger Things.
Finally!
The fourth season of Stranger Things led to this Kate Bush song charting decades after its release.
Is that Running Up That Hill?
Yes, A Deal with God. 10 more points to Kiva. Next to Kate, this is a deck based on a series of trading cards that started in 1985. The Fool card is a grotesque image of a fat child dressed like Buddha with snot running down his face and chest.
No.
Okay, trading cards in 85? All right, Pokemon. Pokemon's older than that. I think it's Pokemon, but I'm going to take the hint.
The Emperor card is a different grotesque-looking child with an atomic explosion coming out of the top of his head.
Okay, not Pokemon at all. Trading card game. I'm just saying Pokemon.
Kiva knows this one.
I think it's the Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh.
It is. From trading cards to tarot cards, the Garbage Pail.
Why is that a thing?
I know.
I'm scarred for real. You guys.
I thought they were gross then, and I think they're gross now.
Oh,
but
I'm
anyway.
Upset.
Yeah, nightmare inducing.
That one, I will say, psychotic people would buy that. I'm with Dan in that regard.
I'm upset, and I kind of want to go see it.
Still a follow-up question for Kate. One of the producers of the much-reviled Garbage Pail Kids movie was Rod Amato, who also produced episodes of My Mother the Car and this ruinously expensive 1979 train-based TV series.
Oh my god. Ruinously expensive train-based TV series? I'm going to just say Thomas the Tank Engine. No idea.
Ruinous.
Kate, where do you think they spent the money on Thomas the Tank Engine? Is it just the animation or?
All went to Ringo Starr.
That yep. was it. That was the only train that was coming into the brain.
Great.
No, this answer is Super Train.
Of course. Super of course, Train. Of course. The famous Super Train.
It is actually pretty famous.
I know.
The TV show that bankrupted NBC. Yeah.
Next deck is to Fanny. This is based on a 2005 TV series. The Hanged Man card is an angel wearing a trench coat carrying a knife.
Give me the hint.
The World card is the view from the backseat of a muscle car as two brothers drive down the highway.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Supernatural?
Fanny, Supernatural frequently features the song Carry On Wayward Son by this Dust in the Wind band.
Moody Blues? That's wrong, I think, yeah.
Kate?
That's Kansas.
Kansas, sure.
Madam Caroline, I love you.
Our last deck for each player, this is for Kiva. It's a deck based on a movie series that started in 2001. The card The Hierophant is a white-haired, bearded man with a long pipe, white robes, and a sword.
Hmm. Movie series based. Hint, please.
The Death card is a faceless, black-clad specter carrying a long sword.
Okay, nope, not what I thought it was. Well, no, if it's a movie, but could it, well, I'm going to finish the sentence, I promise. What about Lord of the Rings?
Yes, the Lord of the Rings tarot deck. Still for Kiva, this musician received an Oscar nomination for her work on the first Lord of the Rings film.
Enya?
With her song, May It Be. Next up to Kate. This is a non-standard deck based around a musician whose first album came out in 1999. The card The Snake Charmer is a young blonde woman wearing a green bikini top and carrying a large snake.
I just want the listeners to know that I put my hands over my heart so that I could say Britney Spears.
For the full 20. Britney cameos in the extended opening credit sequence of this 2002 movie spoof, the third in its series.
Oof, I'm pretty sure that's the Austin Powers series, and I have no earthly idea what the third one was called. Let's call it Austin Powers, the third one.
That third Austin Powers movie is called Goldmember. featuring Britney Spears in the opening credits.
Of course.
Our last tarot deck is for Fanny. It is based on a 1987 TV series. The High Priestess card is a woman with long brown hair wearing a long blue dress sitting in a futuristic chair.
Okay, give me the hint.
The Fool card is a man with pale white skin wearing a yellow uniform.
Oh. Pass.
These are characters from Star Trek The Next Generation, that series tarot deck.
Sorry, Mom. I was trained by the age of 4 to say, Mom, Captain Kirk has his shirt off. So.
Wow.
She's
all
right. Going to be mad. Amazing.
Good detail.
Yeah.
Fanny, the theme song for Star Trek The Next Generation was repurposed from this 1979 film.
Star Wars? I have no idea.
That's going to be Jerry Goldsmith's score for Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Darn it. I was actually going to be a smartass and say that and went with the other smartass answer.
Always be the smartass. Always.
Well, that will do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to the last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time our next episode comes out, and you can win fabulous prizes like the rights to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
From Bay Area workshops just brimming with props. In theory science lessons they taught, proving claims to be flops, but they mostly blew up things. A lot.
Think you know that answer? Then go to usaquizshow.com/riddle to send in that answer and win that prize. We'll post that answer on our social media in a week's time. We are at USA Quiz Show on Instagram and Twitter. While you're on our website, put in an application for a future season if you think you're ready to come play in the big leagues. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Going into our final round, it's time for the Doctari Stool score break. The Doctari Stool. Somehow not the most befuddling thing about Mitchell. Right now, Fanny is in the lead with 95, Kate is close behind with 85, and after a great run at the end of round two, Kiva is in good position with 60 points and needs just 4 correct answers in order to move into first place.
And anything is possible here in the lightning round. Players get their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as they can. 10 points for each correct answer they can provide. Today's categories are Hollywood's New Vandalism, Pocket Rockers, Animated Pups, Cubs, and Kits, and Kind of Like This One Guy with Long Hair and Crazy Ideas About Peace and Love. Now, those topics are a little bit mysterious from their name alone, so pick the thing that you think you're going to do the best on, or perhaps sneakily keep something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Kiva, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the 4 categories would you like? Once again, they are Hollywood's New Vandalism, Pocket Rockers, Animated Pups, Cubs, and Kits, and Kind of Like This One Guy with Long Hair and Crazy Ideas About Peace and Love.
Let's try Pocket Rockers.
You got a guess as to where this is going?
Really short musicians? I don't know.
That's great. Now, in this case, we're talking about the Fisher-Price music system Pocket Rockers that was sold to kids in the 80s. So this is going to be all about songs and artists who were available on that 80s Fisher-Price music system. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Kiva, are you ready?
Let's go.
George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley want you to wake them up before you do this.
Go, go.
This band's tape had short versions of Walk Like an Egyptian and Manic Monday.
The Bangles.
Rick Rubin and the punk band Murphy's Law show up in the video for this Beastie Boys hit.
Girls.
Fight for Your Right. This New Jersey rocker was one of the few acts to have 2 Pocket Rockers tapes.
Bruce Springsteen.
Bon Jovi. In Back to the Future, Marty McFly plays this Chuck Berry song at a school dance.
Johnny Be Good.
The power ballad Amanda was this Massachusetts band's only number one single.
Boston.
The video for Tom Petty's Don't Come Around Here No More is based on this novel.
Alice in Wonderland.
The theme to this NBC cop show hit number one on the charts in 1985.
Hill Street Blues.
Miami Vice. Tequila band The Champs got their name from this cowboy actor's horse.
Jack Palance.
Gene Autry. Don't Lose My Number is from this Genesis drummer's third album, No Jacket Required.
Phil Collins.
The Heat Is On was from the soundtrack of this Eddie Murphy action movie.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Sassy Magazine could not stop talking about this Lost in Your Eyes singer.
Peter Gabriel.
Debbie Gibson.
Wow.
Pretty good round, Kiva.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Kiva report.
All right. Kiva didn't want to pass at all on that, so I've got nothing to say here other than to say Kiva had a good round. She had 7 correct answers, giving 130 points and the lead. Kate has 85 points and will need 5 correct answers in order to pull into first.
All right, Kate, 3 category choices left for you. They are Hollywood's New Vandalism, Animated Pups, Cubs, and Kits, and Kind of Like This One Guy with Long Hair and Crazy Ideas About Peace and Love.
It's a tough one, but I think I'm going to go with Kind of Like This One Guy with Long Hair.
Uh-huh.
Has radical ideas about peace and love.
Close enough.
Where do you think this category is going, Kate?
Well, it's either about Jesus or John Lennon, maybe. I don't know.
The Jesus thought is right on, but because his initials, Jesus Christ, are JC, we've got a round where every answer is a person who has the initials JC.
Okay, this is going to be fun.
90 seconds on the clock. Kate, are you ready?
I am.
This comedian had dramatic turns in The Number 23 and Man on the Moon.
Pass.
PBS's The Power of Myth focused on this literature professor who influenced Star Wars.
Joseph Campbell.
He succeeded Jack Parr as the host of The Tonight Show.
Johnny Carson.
You Can Leave Your Hat On and Up Where We Belong were hits for this English singer.
Pass.
She had lead roles in Mildred Pierce and Torch Song.
Joan Crawford.
This train wreck actor took the WWE US Championship from The Big Show in 2004.
John Cena.
Assassin Villanelle on Killing Eve was played by this British actress.
Jodie Comer.
This Disney legend has voiced characters from Pooh Bear to Darkwing Duck.
Pass.
Meryl Streep got an Oscar nod for playing this TV chef.
Julia Child.
She is best known for the role of Alexis Carrington on Dynasty.
Joan Crawford. Oh!
Joan Collins. In 1965's Dr. Zhivago, this Indian-born actress plays Lara.
Pass.
On a 2022 episode of Saturday Night Live, Chloe Fineman impersonated this White Lotus star.
Jennifer Coolidge.
In Who's Harry Crumb, he plays Harry Crumb. John Candy plays Harry Crumb in that movie.
Don't you love how confidently I said Joan Crawford for the second time? That was great.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Kate report.
You know, we appreciate confidence here, even and especially when you're wrong. The comedian who had dramatic turns The Number 23, where he apparently believes in the whole Number 23 thing, like in real life, which is how the movie got made, is Jim Carrey. You Can Leave Your Hat On and Up Where We Belong are hits for Joe Cocker. The Disney legend, who's voiced characters in almost every Disney movie for a long time, was Jim Cummings. And the Dr. Zhivago actress who played Lara is Julie Christie. Kate had 7 correct answers, giving her 155 points. Fanny's up last. She's got 95, so 6 questions will tie, and she'll need 7 questions in order to win outright.
All right, Fanny, 2 category choices for you still. They are Hollywood's New Vandalism and Animated Pups, Cubs, and Kits.
All right. I don't trust animated stuff, even in a title that probably means it's not about animated stuff. So we're going to go with the New Vandalism.
Where do you think this category is going, Fanny?
Away from animated stuff, I hope. Now you're going to say it's all animated. Great. And if and it can be nowhere near Old Tucson, I'll be good.
Ooh, well, I got bad news for you. You fell into a Dan trap.
We're talking old and we're talking slight drawing on film because back in the At the Movies days, Roger Ebert referred to Turner Entertainment's colorization of old movies as Hollywood's new vandalism. So this is going to be all about old movies that were colorized for TV by Turner Entertainment. 90 seconds on the clock. Fanny, are you ready?
Yes.
Ingrid Bergman's husband tries to make her think she's insane in this 1944 film.
Gaslit. Light.
In Bringing Up Baby, Baby is this kind of animal.
Tiger.
Leopard. Errol Flynn starred in this 1935 pirate film.
Pass.
1935's David Copperfield was based on a book by this Brit.
Dickens.
In Dark Victory, this marked woman star is a socialite with a brain tumor.
Pass.
In The Devil Doll, a scientist decides to solve overpopulation by doing this to people.
Sterilizing them?
Shrinking them. The stage version of this Fred Astaire musical had several additional Cole Porter songs.
Anything Goes.
The Gay Divorcee. In 1947's The Fugitive, this Grapes of Wrath star is a fugitive priest.
Henry Fonda?
Mary Astor is a femme fatale in this 1941 John Huston film noir.
Pass.
His poem Gunga Din was adapted into a 1939 Cary Grant movie.
Pass.
In a 1939 movie, Charles Laughton plays this clerical worker and King of Fools.
Pass.
Walter Huston and Humphrey Bogart search for gold in this 1948 Western.
Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
In a 1957 movie, this singer plays a convict who learns the guitar in prison.
Elvis Presley.
Correct, but after the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Fanny report and our final scores.
All right, let's go through the passes. Fanny, remember, needed to get 6 correct answers in order to tie. Let's see how she did. Errol Flynn starred in the 1935 pirate film Captain Blood. The Dark Victory star, who is also in Marked Woman, is Bette Davis. Mary Astor is a femme fatale in The Maltese Falcon. Can you imagine they colorized The Maltese Falcon? Like, that, yeah, that is vandalism. That's awful. The poem Gunga Din, which certainly isn't racist at all, was by Rudyard Kipling. And Charles Laughton plays a clerical worker who mostly rings bells as Quasimodo. Fanny needed 6 grand answers to tie, so our final scores are Kiva with 130, Kate with 155, and Fanny with 135. Kate is our winner.
Hey, well, it's a sweeter. Congratulations.
For the second time in only the second episode of this season, a player returning from season 1 who did not win their first game has made it to the playoffs. I'm sensing a trend. Congratulations, Kate. But that does mean it is the end of the road for Kiva and Fanny. Super, super fun game. Please come back and play in a future season. We would love to have you again. Before we go, though, want to make sure we give our players a chance to point us towards anything. Fanny's got a podcast, a Twitter account. Fanny, what would you like to plug?
You can find my best friend for my whole life and I arguing about pop culture on the Knicks. You can find me at Fanny V. Darling on Twitter if you're interested.
And Kate, anything you'd like to point us towards?
Yeah, I'm Radish Cake on Twitter, and my plug is for the Georgia Equality Fund. So if anybody is got some extra dollars to throw towards a program that works for trans equality, I would love it. Link is in the show notes.
Thank you, Kate. And Kiva, what would you like to point our listeners towards?
Also, plug for charity. If you have a few extra dollars, consider donating to your local food bank, particularly food banks in states that have recently faced storms, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Arkansas. Please just consider donating. Food banks really need help nowadays.
Thank you, Kiva. And listeners, you can also follow Kate as the coffee cup emoji over on our season 9 bracket. Well, that wraps it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the first elimination match in the Globochem division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, Kiva, Kate, and Fanny, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Where'd it go?